Okay, so we've been speaking about patience, and today I want to highlight five ways in which we can work on patience. This will be very, very practical. Chabura, shir, and hopefully we can all take something away from it. So we'll jump right in. Number one is going to be a phrase which we've spoken about, which everyone speaks about, but especially when it comes to the midah of patience, it's critical, and that's the quote, Gamzu L'Tova. As you know, it appears in the Gemara. The idea that we have to recognize at the end of the day, everything that happens in life comes from Hashem, and it's for the best. And therefore, whatever challenge or struggle that we're dealing with, so in order to have the patience to be able to effectively work through those issues, having the perspective of Gamzu L'Tova is so critical, and it's so important. I guess in English, you call it maybe really tranquility. Right? You can live a life where things aren't going to always go our way. We're going to get stuck in traffic, we're going to be late for a meeting, we're going to fail a test, we're going to lose out on this relationship. But to realize that if a person is doing his best, that's key. If a person is lazy, it's not doing his best, so a person says, I get 60s on all my tests. Yeah, well, if you didn't put in the work, so that's your fault. But if a person put in the effort and his best is an 80, great, so that's the best. Gamzu L'Tova. May not be as good as the friend sitting next to you, but that's fine. Because Hashem gave you certain qualities that you will need in order to accomplish your task in this world. And therefore, for you getting 80 is your best, that's great. That's why as a parent, it's really important that when a kid comes home with a certain grade, if that's the best grade they can get, give them a high five. So if that kid studied really, really hard and they got a 75, that's just as great as some other kid getting 100. That's what's more important, the hard work. That's what they say when you're giving praise to a child. Don't give a praise necessarily on the result, but it's more important to give praise on the hard work. Because the result, they're not always going to be able to get that result again. But the hard work, that's what they can replicate in other areas of life also. So if you can push them and say, that's really hard work, you really did a great job on the hard work you put in. So the kid thinks, well, I know how to put in hard work. Therefore, they can apply that in every area of their life. Okay, it's a little off topic, but that's just an important thing to keep in mind. So therefore, again, when unfortunately small or big things happen to us that don't go our way, having that perspective of Gamzu L'Tova. And honestly, it's something that you could just do. You write it on a piece of paper, or some people may have it on the back of their phone as a screensaver, and just constantly, over and over and over again, think about that concept of Gamzu L'Tova. I was listening to a shiur the other day by Rav Meir Tversky, one of the Rosh Yeshiva NYU, and he was talking about tikkun hamidos, he was talking about working on midos, and he said, the greatest way to work on midos is to have certain phrases or certain teachings that you connect with and just to think about them all the time. And eventually, once you'll ingrain them into yourself, and therefore the next time a situation comes up, you just think about it. But to open up a Musar Sefer once, you review the topic of, let's say, Sablanut, of patience. And you review the topic once, and you read all these great phrases and teachings and Gemaras and Midrashim, and you only review it once. So then, in a couple of months, if something happens to you, you're not going to remember it. But the more we review it, and that's why even Mr. Sharm says, you need to constantly review these concepts. The more you review it, the more it gets ingrained in you, and then it becomes natural. And then it becomes a habit. So it's really important, even just that phrase, Gamzu L'Tova. Alright, I'm working on it this week. Write it down. And throughout the day, take out that piece of paper from your pocket and try to think about it over and over and over again. And hopefully that will affect this week, but hopefully forever. It's going to be something that will last with you. It becomes a habit. It becomes second nature. I have a friend, maybe I shared this story here. I have a friend who in high school was one of the top performers in academics. Really, really smart kid and always did well. Always got, 90s, 100s. And when it was time to apply for colleges, so he applied to all the Ivies, and he really wanted to get into Columbia. That was his dream, to get into Columbia. And he applied, and I remember I went to TBC. In TBC, this is a long time ago, there was a room for yearbook and all different publications. So it was like this publications room. And he was on, like, one of these, like, kids, he was the president of every club, and he was in charge of all the publications. So I remember I was in that room once with him, and it was a thing back in the day to like post your, if you got accepted to a college, you like print it out and like put it in the room. And I remember going in, and he actually had not posted his acceptance letter, but he actually posted his rejection letter. He got rejected from Columbia. He was really upset about it, but the way he dealt with it was he posted it on the board for all of us to see. And I remember speaking to him. He was really, really down. He was really upset. Like, this was his dream to get into Columbia. He didn't get it. Okay. So, anyways, the next year he was going to Yeshiva. And he said, you know what, I'll reapply the next year. Maybe I can get in after reapplying. So he goes to Yeshiva for a year. He applies. Boom, he gets in. He got in, called him up, and said, you know, I'd like to defer, just like everyone else, I'd like to defer for 1 year to go to Yeshiva. He said, totally fine. What do we learn from this story? He got to go for 2 years in Israel and got to go to the college of his choice. Had he gone to Columbia in senior year, he would have only went to Israel for 1 year. And he knew, and he told me after that, for him, going to Israel for 2 years really solidified his Judaism, really gained a lot of skills, and as we all know, those who come back shana bet, right? The difference between someone going shana up and shana bet is really crazy different. So for him, this is the Gamzo Tova story, right? In the moment, he was so upset. I didn't get into the college of my choice. Hashem knew though. Hashem wanted him to go shana bet. So he said, you know what, let's hold off. Well, you won't get accepted this year, you'll get accepted next year, but again, it's difficult. But to have that perspective of Gamzo Tova, even when in the moment, it's really, really difficult. And again, that's why when hopefully things are going well, that's when we try to work on Amida. When you're already involved, there's 2 minutes left in the game, and now you're trying to work on your anger on the court, it's not going to work. You got to work on it before. Not saying right now, hopefully things are okay, things are calm, okay, now we work on Gamzo Tova. Because I know that's the way the world works. Hashem sets it up that we're going to have challenges. But try to work on Gamzo Tova now so that when those come, we're ready to attack them. The Gemara says that, what does Hashem do all day? What does Hashem do all day? It's a long day, every single day. What does he do? So the Gemara says one of the things he does is he mizaveg zivugim, which means he makes matches. Right? This guy, this 25-year-old guy, this 23-year-old girl, boom, get married. That's what he does. Says the Baal Shem Tov, let me try to understand that in a different way. Not necessarily, of course, but we know the Pshat. Pshat means Hashem makes matches. He makes people get married. What it also means is that he's mezavim zivugim, which means that anything that happens in your life, anything that comes before you, right? Hashem makes you meet different things in your day. That's what Hashem does all day. If you need to meet this person, if you need to have this challenge, that's what Hashem is doing all day. He's making sure that everyone has what they need every single day. Some of the things are positive, you get 100 on your test, and some of them are not as positive. But we have to recognize that Hashem is the mezavim zivugim. Hashem is the one, just like he makes matches between people, makes matches between us and our situation every single day.
Where's the source of the Gemara?
The Gemara, I believe, is in Avodah Zarah, but I might be making that up. So we should probably look at and try to find it together. Okay, we know that after we'll try to find it together. So, yeah, the idea is that that's another idea of Mizamek's Bugim. So therefore, we have to believe that. We have to really believe that and agree that in ourselves. And no matter who we meet that day, who's really nice to us, or really not so nice to us, whatever situation happens to us, we have to recognize that it's all coming from Hashem. And just some practical examples of when it comes to patience. So for example, let's say a person feels like he's not having hatzlacha in yeshiva. I can't really read yet, I don't understand what the Rebbe is saying, I can't keep up with my chavrusa. So where does Gamzo Tova help? So, maybe Hashem, try to think Gamzo Tova, you know, maybe Hashem's like giving you Hatzlacha because he wants you to push yourself a little bit more. Push yourself a little bit more. Maybe stay a little bit later, or within the hour that you're learning, learn that full hour. And maybe once you push yourself a little bit more, Hashem will give you Hatzlacha. Or there's a classic, right? You missed your bus by a couple of minutes, and now you're late to work. So you start cursing, and you're upset, and you're so angry. Gamzo Tova. Maybe, you don't know, maybe that bus you were going to take had a flat tire, and you have been even later to work. And you can think of some of the crazy stories, you know, the 9/11 stories where it was slichos and the guy came late to work that day because he was doing slichos, or the guy's getting his tefillin checked, all these crazy stories on September 11th. You know, again, that's a crazy story, but again, in our own personal lives, you're late, you did what you're supposed to do, you left on time, there's a lot of traffic, what are you supposed to do about it? And if you want, you could try to think of the craziest things that could have happened if you would have went, you don't have to go that far. Just Gamzo Tova, there's a reason why I'm going to be late to work today. And Hashem has his way. Another example where a person can have patience, let's say you bought a product, you bought a new phone, let's say, and you bought it for $1,000, and you realize you got totally ripped off. You really could have paid $500 for that phone. You can call the store owner, and you can curse him out, and you can scream at him. Just have patience. You know, I understand there's gonzo tour, there's some reason. Again, if you get your money back, obviously you get your money back. But let's just say you can't get your money back for whatever reason. There's some reason Hashem wants me to lose out that money. I'll tell you a great story. It's actually a mashal. I once heard from Rav C. Meyer. And he says that there was someone who once came to his Rebbe and said, I'm so depressed, I'm so sad, I just lost $1,000 in my business. Maybe more, $10,000, $100,000 in my business. Yeah, we were doing really well. And the Rebbe said, all right, you should make a kiddush. Make a kiddush. I just lost $1,000, I have to make a kiddush. He said, how much do you think it would cost? Let's say you had a child right now. You want to make a kiddush for your daughter. You just gave birth to a daughter, and you're making a kiddush. However much it would cost. Would you spend that money? Of course I'd spend that money. He said, listen to this. He said, for whatever reason, Hashem decided that you needed to lose that money. Hashem decided you needed to lose the $10,000. Hashem had two options. Either he could have made you lose that money through losing on this business venture, right? You invested in some stock and totally flopped. Or, chas v'shalom, your child would have needed a serious surgery that would have cost $20,000. Hashem said, he needs to lose that $20,000. Why? Hashem has his own calculations. Either he can lose out that $20,000 by spending that $20,000 on a child's surgery, which would be very painful and very scary, or $20,000 by business venture. Which would you have chosen? It's like, of course I would have chosen the business venture. So, make a kiddush. He's trying to teach him that we have to have perspective in life. We never ever know why Hashem makes us lose certain things, or have pain or sorrow in certain areas. Gamzul Tova, we have to really recognize that. Okay, so that's the first piece of advice in terms of working on Savanos, the idea of Gamzul Tova. Number two, now this applies in all areas of life, but specifically when it comes to patience, and that is Tefillah. Tefillah, I actually say a story that someone once saw the Chafetz Chaim. They saw he would come to the Beis Medrash every single night at midnight. Now, aside from the story of that he would tell everyone, you turn off the lights. That was the story. He'd tell everyone, midnight, you come to the Beis Medrash, turn off the lights. Why? I want you to go to sleep. I want to make sure you have enough koach for the next day to learn. Interesting. But they also say, another story is that at midnight, he would come into the Beis Medrash, and they wanted to be like, what is he doing? Why is he coming back at so late at night? And someone saw that he came in every single night at midnight. He'd go to the Aron Kodesh, and they listened in to hear what he was saying. He would go to the Aron, he'd open it up, and the Chafetz Chaim would dial into Hashem to have patience, to overcome his anger. To be able to recognize that even when situations don't go well, I need to have patience. The Chafetz Chaim. So you see that even someone like the Chafetz Chaim needs to dial in for it. Obviously we need to. And the power of tefillah, when you ask Hashem to work on a certain midah, and again this applies to all midos, but to ask Hashem to help us in midos in general, and more specifically, if you're going into a situation in which you know they're going to lose your patience. For example, you need to have a meeting with your boss, and you know that you don't really have a good relationship with your boss, or a certain friend, or whoever it is, and you know that certain situations tend to get you going. So in that situation, throw in a quick tefillah before you go. Hashem, I know I need some help. I'm getting into a situation that's going to be a little tense. Can you please help me? Or else you have to have a serious conversation with the parents. And you know it may not go well. You want to make sure you don't overreact. You want to have patience. So daven to Hashem before that. We have to make sure and really use tefillah to our benefit. Hashem, it's a gift from Hashem to be able to daven to it. But to show Hashem, you know what? You're the only one. Obviously, we have our own free will. We can obviously put in the hishtal that we can put in. But at the end of the day, it's really Hashem who's going to help us overcome those situations. So again, number one is the idea of Gamzul Tova. Number two is tefillah. Number three, perspective. Perspective. Okay, this is a really great, for sure, when it comes to marriage. A husband comes home, 6 o'clock, knocks on the door, he comes inside. What does he see inside? There's a mess on the floor. He even walks in, he trips over one of the toys on the floor. There's food all over the table. The kids aren't washed yet, they aren't bathed yet. And here's his wife, like, you know, getting upset at one of the kids. And he comes in, he's like, what's going on here? Right? He tells his wife, like, you know, what are you doing here? The floor's a mess. Like, come on, like, before I come home, you have a couple hours at home with the kids, you can clean up a little bit, you can feed the kids, there's food all over the table, the kids aren't bathed yet, like, what's going on? So I once read that the whole situation could be changed with perspective. What's that perspective? Every time a husband comes home at 6 o'clock, before he knocks on the door, think to yourself, my assumption is, what I think is going to happen right now is I'm going to come into a really messy house. Right? My wife came home late, and it was really hard with the kids, and I know there are going to be toys all over the floor, I know there's going to be food all over, I know the kids aren't going to be bathed. It's crazy. When you come in with that perspective, it changes everything. Because that's what I'm assuming is going to happen. Therefore, you go into the house and everything's crazy. Okay. I'm assuming my wife was really trying her best to clean up. But it didn't happen tonight. Okay, and that's fine. Now I'm going to jump in and help. And what's even better is that what if you come in at that time and everything's cleaned up? Wow. How much greater. You come thank your wife. When was the last time you thank your wife for coming home to a clean house and eating dinner on the table? So it's all about perspective. When you have that perspective before, now again, this is an interesting perspective. Here we're telling, have the perspective that things aren't going to be the best. But that's okay. I mean, that's going to help a person get to a stage where A, like we just said, you thank your wife for actually having a clean house. But B, if it's not clean, to be okay with it and to help out, that's fine. So I've used that before in many situations. To go into a situation with, I guess we call low expectations. Right? Not the highest expectations. And if a person goes in with that, so then hopefully your expectations are, I guess, are met. Even if they're very low expectations.
But how often can we do that without it being unhealthy? So just every day, okay? That thank God I have a couple little kids, and so you know, more likely than not, there's going to be a couple toys on the floor, and at least one dish is going to be unclean on the table. But it's if I'm coming home and I have older kids and I assume things should be different, then lowering my expectations isn't realistic.
Yeah, for sure. No, so obviously every situation needs to be taken, on its own. And if there's a problem that keeps reoccurring, and like you said, let's say you have older kids and it's something that should be happening, so of course, that situation, not in the moment, but at another point, you could sit down, have a conversation with your children, have a conversation with your wife, and say, how can we make this better? For sure. But in a situation where you know it's going to be difficult for your wife every single night to have everything ready with young kids at home, so I think it's proper to have that perspective, to have those expectations. Of course in life we should have high expectations, of ourselves for sure. When it comes to other people, okay, you have to see any situation. But a conversation doesn't hurt. But again, not in the moment, and at an appropriate time to have a conversation. Okay, so that is, and again, I think it just helps with patience, because you come in and you're like, okay, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Okay, so just to review, we had Gamzu Tova, we had Tefillah, we had perspective or expectation. Number four, we'll go through these a little bit quickly, and that is pushing off your response. Maybe we've heard before the 10-second rule. Person gets really fired up, is really upset about something, count to 10 before you respond. Maybe your parents have told you that when you were a little kid. But truthfully, it helps, because you cool down. It allows you to cool down. You want to say something, someone said something to you, okay, count to 10, take a deep breath, let me think about what I'm going to say before I respond, and now respond. And often you won't respond, because you realize, okay, what I was about to say is really the wrong thing to respond. And truthfully, we actually see a source for this in the Torah. That is when Dinah, the whole story of Dinah and Shechem, and the Pasuk says in Bereishis Lamed Daled Hey, V'Yaakov Shama, Yaakov heard, ki timei es Dinah bito. That they defiled Dinah, his daughter, ubanav hayu esmiknehu basadeh. His sons weren't home yet, they were out in the field. So what did Yaakov do? Pasuk could have ended there. You know what Yaakov did? The hecherish needs to be quiet. The hecherish Yaakov ad boham. Yaakov did not respond until they came home. He could have right away called the police. He could have right away jumped on it. And the Ralbab, one of the Mefarshim, says, Mikan, we learn from here. Shera'ui la'adam lehit azer b'savlanut. A person should gird himself. He should strengthen himself with patience. V'lo yimaher lechos amashi yasu negdo. And don't be angry right away. Don't be quick to anger. Ela lahamtin b'yeshiv adas. Yeshiv adas. You should wait. Patience. Kemo shematzinu etzel Yaakov. Just like we find by Yaakov. So Yaakov could take counsel with his sons, let's figure out a plan. But Yaakov didn't respond right away. He knew for himself, Yaakov knew, that if he would have responded right away, it wouldn't have been the right response. So So we learn from Yaakov, when we see a source in the Torah, don't respond right away. It doesn't say there are 10 seconds, but that's what we say nowadays. Take 10 seconds. Take time to think. Another example I wrote down here. You know, again, husband comes home after a long day of work, and he's ready for a supper when he comes in. And he comes home, and there's no supper there. Boom, he right away screaming at his wife, come on, I had such a long day. Maybe he didn't realize, maybe she had a really hard day. Maybe she just finished bathing the kids. You don't know. But you respond right away, so 9 out of 10 times you're going to say the wrong thing. Take a second to think, okay, I'm really hungry. You know what, maybe my wife didn't eat it. Maybe with that patience, with holding off a little bit, so we don't respond to the whole thing with the wrong thing, hopefully you respond with the right thing. Here's an interesting story. Obviously not a real story. But a person had a watchdog in his house. Okay, a watchdog to make sure that his family was safe. And one day he leaves his son home with the watchdog. And at the end of the day, he comes back home and he sees blood all over the house. The father comes home. Again, he left his son with his watchdog. He sees blood all over the house. He calls out for his son. He doesn't hear his son. So he became a little bit nervous. He sees blood all over the house. He sees the dog in the corner, he goes to the dog, boom, he chops off the head of the dog. He thought the dog killed my son. And the father starts crying. He's like, and I just killed my dog, my son is dead? Crazy. And as he's crying, he hears someone else crying outside. Who's crying outside? It's his son. And his son, he sees next to his son, a dead wolf, next to his son outside. Right, clearly the dog had killed the wolf, and it was the blood of the wolf. Now, right? The father was so quick. It's a mushel, but the idea is that the father was so quick to kill the dog. He just lost his dog. He didn't need to lose his dog, right? The mushel again is to try to take situations slow. Okay, that's the fourth piece of advice. And the fifth, which is about 1 minute to speak about, is just a general piece of advice when it comes to being patient. You'll see us people who are patient in general just. It lends to having a patient personality, that is, speaking with what we call kol namuch, a low voice. Not screaming, not being one who's always screaming and having a loud voice. Because what that does is it gets a person to be calm. That's really the type of personality. Someone who's patient generally is a calm personality. Someone who's always screaming with a loud voice, generally not a calm personality. We see this through Al-Fazal, the idea that a person should speak with a low voice, a famous statement in the Geras Ramban, where he says that a person should speak with a low voice. The Medrash says that divrei chachamim benachas nishmaim, the words of chacham are heard when they're spoken benachas, gently, softly. So that's another idea. But by working on this externally, right? Acharei ha'pu'ulos nimshachim halavos. After our actions come our heart, which means that when we start doing things externally, it's oftentimes that transforms what we think inside. And therefore, if a person starts speaking in a certain way, they don't have to talk like this. Just a certain way of speaking. A certain way of speaking. Think about Rav Barkowitz, it's the way he speaks. Like, he says very powerful things, but he says it in a certain way. So if a person does that, hopefully that can have an internal change. A person can change himself to someone who is more calm. And someone who is more calm, automatically, someone has more patience. Because they take life slowly. Okay, just a quick review. We had Gamzo Tova, we had Tzvila, we had perspective, we had the 10-second rule, and finally we had speaking with a low voice. Again, hopefully these five things, if you just pick out one of them to work on this week, hopefully these can help us all in the need of patience.